Okay. We'll start from the Mishnah on Pei Tes on a Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. Hamotzi Eitzim. Somebody carries out wood. Kedei Lavashal Beit Zakala. Enough wood to cook an egg that's the easiest egg to cook, which we said, Gemara had said previously, is a chicken egg. Tavlin, spices. Kedei Latavil Beit Zakala. Enough spices to spice the easiest egg that there is to spice. The Rambam takes out the word Beit Zakala. Takes out the word Kala. Because he says, what do you mean, the easiest egg to spice? What, the flavoring is different for each egg? It's the size of a grogris, right? It's not the size of an egg, it's the size of a grogris, right? That's what we had said. It's the egg that's the size of a grogris is the fastest to cook. So that applies to putting spices on it too? Aram takes out the word kala. When Mitztarfin says that, all the spices combine to give you the shear necessary for carrying. Klipia gozin, the shells of nuts, klipia ramonin, the shells of pomegranates, istis, upua, two types of plants that are used for dyes, and the klipia gozim and the klipia ramonim are also used for dyes. They extract dyes out of that. So how much of all that do you have to carry out? This is raw dye. Kedei letzvoa behen beged katan, the amount that it would take to dye a small beged, piece vacha, which is a piece of cloth that the women used to put on top of their headdress or a hat. These have a small piece of cloth for ornament. That cloth is the amount of dye that you can't carry out to dye that size cloth. Meraglayim, urine, neser, some kind of soap, buris, we're going to see what that is. Kamulia, we'll see what that is. The ashleg, we'll see what that is. It's all kinds of detergents. All these are detergents. So how much detergent do you have to carry out? Kedei lechabes beged katan piece vacha. Again, the same amount of detergent that you would need to clean this size cloth, the amount of a woman's hat. Rabbi Huda says a smaller shear kedil havres a kesem, the amount it would take to remove a kesem of a dam nida. And the Gemara there nida says that there's like go through the stages of the Gemara there says that any garment that has dam nida on it cannot become tahar. You can't make that tahar in the mikvah unless you remove the dam first. There's a whole procedure there how to remove it using these materials one after the other or other ones. Maybe this is just a partial list. Maybe there's more there. There would need a, either way. So it's a smaller shear because the size of a stain is probably smaller than this piece of cloth. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tanina chadazim. Now we learned this already. We know the shear for carrying out wood is the amount that it takes to cook a small egg. Why? How do we know? Because kana, we had a reed. Kedelasas kulmus. The amount of reed you have to carry out is the amount that you can make it into a pen. But imhayav, if it was too thick, you can't hold it for a pen. Oh, murusas, or it's all cracked, so you can't hold any ink. You can't use that for a pen. Then it's kedelavashal beitzakala sheva beitzim. It's the one that could cook. It's the size to cook an egg that can cook the fastest. Terabatim, trufa after it's been scrambled, vinasuna be'ilfas, and it's put into a pot. So you see that we already know the shear for these types of things is the amount it takes to cook a small, easily cooked egg. So the Gemara says, I might think, chasam hu delo chasam lemidi. That quill is not fit for anything. What could you do with it? Right? It's broken, it's cracked, you can't use it for a pen. So of course you use it for firewood. So certainly that has to be the shear. Abel eitzim, but eitzim the chazu lekava da atlida. You can use a piece of wood, a smaller piece of wood for the tooth of a key, and you can attach it to the tooth to a key and make it the tooth of a key, and you can use it that way. So then afilu kol shehu, that's even a smaller amount. It might even be a kol shehu. Any amount could be used for a tooth of a key. Kamash malon, since that's we had this before also. Since that's an unusual usage. We go by the more usual usage, even if it's more makel, because you have to carry out a larger amount, and that's why the shear is to cook an egg. Fine. The next part of the Mishnah said, Tavlin spices kedil tavel beit zakala. So for a minhu, but we have a steer on that, because there's a Mishnah in Orla, which is the Mishnah Yomis this week, Tavlin, if spices, shnayim v'gimel shemos, two or three names. What does that mean, two or three names? Two or three names, mimin echa, but it's the same species. Rashi says, for example, you have black pepper, you have white pepper, you have long pepper, you have short pepper, but it's all called pepper. Tosfos says, no, it's one thing, it's one, black pepper, but you have some of it's usher because it's klayim, some of it's usher because it's from an asherah, some of it's usher because it's, what else did he say? It's orla, klayim, klayim kerim, asherah, irinidachas. So you have different reasons why the same species is usher. So matlab is Rashi and Tosfos. Or back in the Gemara bottom line, oh, mishlosha minim, or it's spices from three different minim. So Shein Echad, we'll hold off on that. So asurin, it's asur, umutzdarfin zenzeh, and they combine. So all these spices can combine, whether they're asur, whether they're three different ones, whether they're the same one, rashi, tosos, whatever it is, the bottom line is that all that can combine to asur the food. Because it's going to put the taste of the spices into the food. The spices are going to go into the food. The spices are asur. They're going to spice up the food, and they're going to make all the food asur as well. Vamar Chizki, and Chizki said, the minim is sikha shanu. That's only true, we're now top of Tzad Kamar Aleph. That's only true if all those spices combined better the food. If one of those spices is going to ruin it, then it doesn't work. Then that spice is not included to be mitzvah. It's got to make the food better. If ingredients there that are terrible and are going to ruin the food, that doesn't count. Only if it makes the food better. Ha'ol v'ru'uyin l'mate k'deira. Because that way it's better to make the food better. Time with the whole reason why these spices combine to make the food usur is the chazal of masak esakadeira. Because they can better the pot. They make the whole pot taste better. Halav hachi, but if not for that reason, lo. It would not make the food usur because you don't have the shear. Right, in order to make it usur, you need the shear of spices, whatever shear that is. And if these spices ruin the food, or they don't combine in a way that makes the food taste better, they're not going to combine. Second, by our law, we have that requirement, and over here by Shabbos, the Gemara says no such thing. The Mishnah just said, you carry spices. Doesn't it have to be spices that make the food better? Otherwise, what you're carrying is not a shear of anything. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hanam, yihakinam, you hear also, duchazul amaseg, that the spices that you carry out are fit to make the food taste better. Okay, next. Klipia gozim, if you carry out shells of a gozim, klipia ramonim, shells of pomegranates, satis upua, it's different kind of dyes, one's a red dye, one's a blue dye, kedel zvoa beged cotton. The amount that it would take to dye a small piece of cloth. Vermini, but I'll ask you a steer on that, we had this tomorrow already also. Hamotzi samarim shiruyin, if somebody carries out already soaked dyes, meaning it's at a later stage in the dyeing process than our Mishnah. So they're already shruyin, they're already soaked, meaning they've already taken the extract from whatever, and now they have better dye, more advanced dye. Not raw material, finished products. So amotzi saman shruyin, if somebody takes out already soaked dyes, k'del tzboa behen dugmo la'iria. The amount you chayef to take out is the amount that you could use to dye a piece of cloth that they would show as a dugma, as a sample for the weavers, which is a smaller shear. Because all you got to do is show a little color. This is the color that I have, the dye. You want to buy it or not? So it was a small shear that they would use for the dye for the weavers. So how come over there the shear given for dyes is smaller than the one given in our Mishnah? Right, we had this question a few weeks ago. So the Gemara answers, Amar of Nachman, Amar Abba Barvua. No, that's talking about finished product dyes. Finished product dyes is a smaller shear. Why? Nobody's going to carry out the raw materials and then make the dye just for the small shear of a sample. So no one's going to do that. We're going to have the same type of thing on every base. No one carries out so much for so little. So the only time you're going to be chayef for carrying out the raw materials is if you carry it out for a larger shear. Finished dye? Yeah, that's a much smaller shear, because a much smaller amount is already considered chashuv. That answers that. Meraglayim? What about urine? Tana, we have a brisa that says, Meraglayim ad ben mem yom. The Bach takes up the word ben. Ad men yom. So machlok is here, what this means, the girsa here. Some say it's anywhere from 3 days to 40 days. That the meraglayim acts as a detergent. But it only acts as a detergent if it's... Some say that this means from a child who's 40 days old. That's why the ben's there. It's ben meant from a 40-day-old child. His urine works as a detergent. Others say, no, it has to be... It doesn't mean a child, it means anybody, but it can only have sat for 40 days first to get it nice and putrid, and then it'll work as a good detergent. And some say that it should say really between 3 days and 40, because the other Gemaras that say that before 3 days, it has no cleansing ability at all. Okay. Neser, some kind of soap. Tana, we learned. Neser alexandrois, velo neser anpantrin. The neser from the city of Alexandria, and not the neser from the city of Anpantrin. Fine. Buris, what's buris? It's also some kind of soap. Amr of Yehuda, zechol, it's sand. So the Gemara says, how could it be sand? V'atanya, we have a brisa that says, haburis v'hachol. Buris and sand. So it can't mean sand if it says buris right in the same sentence regarding something else. El am I buris, what's buris? Kabritha. It must be sulfur. So one of the cleansing agents is sulfur. So the Gemara says, mesve, hosifu alehen hachal bitzin. They added on so thistles, v'hal inun, and wormwood. These are different kinds of shoots. V'haburis, and buris, that's the key for us, buris. V'ha'ahal, and aloe. This is talking about Shemitah. All these things are also included in the din of Shemitah. Because they all grow from the ground. V'i'asolka da'itach kabrisa. And if you're going to tell me that buris means sulfur, kabrisa mi'isvi v'shvi'ith? Sulfur is a din of shvius? It's a mineral. It doesn't grow from the ground. Right? But nan zeaklal, kol sheyeshlo ikar. If something has roots, then yeshlo shvius. That has a din of Shemitah. V'she'ein lo ikar, doesn't have roots, ain lo shvius. There's no shvius. Sulfur doesn't have roots. That's not a din. You can mine sulfur all you want on Shemitah. You know, hashkav, I don't know, halacha l'maisa. But I'm saying, it doesn't have roots. So sulfur can't be sulfur. Elamai buris, what's buris? Ahala. It's aloe. I bought tanya, but with that brisa said, haburis v'ahala, buris and aloe, so it can't mean. So the Gemara answers, trei gavni ahala. There's two types of aloe. There's aloe, and then there's buris, which is also a type of aloe. So Tosa says, why didn't we give the same answer before by the sand? Why didn't we say there's two types of sand? So Tosa says, it's simply not true. There are not two types of sand. Sand is sand. Okay. Kimulya, what's Kimulya? Amr of Yehuda, Shlaf Dutz. It's Shlaf Dutz, which Rashi says, I don't know what that is, but that's its name, it's a Shlaf Dutz. So the article said maybe it's some kind of also aloe or alkali. Okay. Ashlag, what's Ashlag? Amr Shmuel said, Shal Sinhu Lechol Nechute Yama. I asked all the people, all the sailors who go down to the ocean, for Amruli, they told me, Shunana. It's called Shunana Shmei. It's called Shunana. Umishtagach benukva demarganisa. And it's found in the pearls, inside the pearls. That's where it's found. This parada is found inside the pearls. Umafkile, and you can get it out. Beramza de parzala. With a thin metal stick, you can squeeze out the material. With the shells, right. Well, isn't a marganisa a pearl? Right, could we talk about the clam, the area in the clam? Right, okay. Fine. Next Mishnah. Palpeles. What's palpeles? Palpeles is, we would think it's pepper. Right? So Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, palpeles kol shehu. Let's do two more lines. Palpeles kol shehu. The carry out pepper, it's a kol shehu. The itron, tar, kol shehu. It's a kol shehu. Mine besamim. This is not spices like we had before. This is now besamim that you use for fragrance. Mine besamim, umine matros, metal or spices, kol shehu, it's a kol shehu. So Rashi says, what's palpeles kol shehu? Rashi says, te'eno palpel shalonu, it's not our pepper. Ubu gemara mefarish kol shehu l'may chazi. The gemara is going to say, what is this for? Based on this Rashi, Rashi says that it's not our pepper. There's a machlokas between the Taz and the Shach about pepper. The Taz says, since the Mishnah says here, palpeles kol shehu, and then the next line, the Mishnah says besamim, so palpeles is not besamim. And Rashi says, it's not our pepper. Right? So the Taz says, you see from here, this Rashi, that you can use pepper for besamim. Because only palpeles you can't use. Only palpeles, I don't know what that is. Rashi says, it's not pepper. And then the very next line of the Mishnah says, and besamim. And the Gemara is going to say, the first line of the Gemara is going to be, what could you do with palpeles kol shehu? And the Gemara is going to answer, L'reach hapeh. If you have nice breath. The Mishnah doesn't say, what do you do with pesamim? Because we know what we do with pesamim. Right? Pesamim makes you smell good. So we know what that is. So the fact that the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Rashi, all this whole Torah, it's obvious that pepper you can use for besamim. The Shach says no, because Rashi is just letting you know that this is an entirely different thing, because there's a suf here. Palpeles. Rashi says, don't confuse it with palpel. But not, there's nothing more to say about whether or not you can use it for besamim. So the whole machlok is the Hilchos besamim, Hilchos Havdalah, based on a Rashi in Masechta Shabbos got carried. Amazing. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. Avnei Mizbeach, from the Avonah of the Mizbeach, if someone carries that out somehow, or Me'ofra HaMizbeach, or somehow he gets the Afra of the Mizbeach, the ash of the Mizbeach, or Mekak Sfarim. Mekak Sfarim is, Rashi says Mekak is the name of a worm. Either it's a worm, or it's the worn out, either way, it's the wormhole pieces of Sfarim. Right? The worm eats up the pieces, so those little specks of Sifri Torah, if you carry any amount, you're chayev. Why? Because every amount is chashev, because it's got to go to the geniza. It's got to go to the bury. It's got to go to geniza or to be buried. So any small amount of Sefer Torah, it's considered chashev. Or mekak miftachaseihem, or any small amount from the coverings, from the wrappings of Sefer Torah, or Sefer Kodesh, kalshu, any amount. Shematzniyin osan ledonzan, because we have to put that to the geniza. So any amount is considered chashev. Rabbi Huda says, Af hamotze misham she avodah zara kol shehu. Even if you carry out the service utensils of avodah zara, it's going to be kol shehu. Shenamar, because it says, for lo yidbak b'yadcha mu'uma min hacherem. Don't touch anything. Which means, the only way to interpret this, which means that you have to destroy it. Otherwise, we said earlier that atzei asherah has no function. What are you doing with it? Right, we said Zach Klal, remember we had Zach Klal, this is the rule about whatever some carryings out, and we said, what does that mean, Zach Klal? Doesn't include Atzei Asherah. Atzei Asherah is worthless. So what's the difference between Atzei Asherah and this? The difference is that over here you're carrying it out to take it out, either to burn it, to throw it to the Yam HaMelech, to get rid of it. As the Pasuk says, don't keep it around. That also will explain how this is a Malacha Shetzricha Legufa. I'm not just, I don't want a Avodah Zarah in my house, so I'll put it over there. Right, that's the same thing as taking the mace, I don't want the mace over here, smell it, I'll put it outside. So that's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is a lot of the Rishash, the whole piece, how this fits in with him. Because the whole thing makes sense only if it's malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Which will make sense because he doesn't differentiate. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is pater, here it might be tzricha legufa, you're carrying it out for its sake to burn it, to get rid of it, throw it away. So That's how that fits in over here. So the Gemara says, Palpeles kol shehu, any amount of palpeles, l'may chazi, what's it good for? Like we said before, l'may chapeh for good breath. Idron kol shehu, tar, l'may chazi, what's that good for? L'tzil chasa, for a headache. Rashi says, Rashi, the other mefarshim, you take a piece of this and you make it with other materials and you get yourself a headache medicine. Minei besamim kol shehain, tana rabbanon, hamotzi reach ra, if somebody takes out anything that smells bad, kol shehu, it's a kol shehu. Shemen tov, good oil, kol shehu, it's a kol shehu. Argaman, purple. Rashi says, purple, what does Rashi say? He says, tseva shetzovim bar argaman, v'tayim alo isparish. I don't know why they're singling out purple. For linira, it must be, shegam huroi lahareach. It must also have some kind of a fragrance. Otherwise, why are you telling me purple? What about blue? And that's kalshu, it's also a kalshu. Ubesulas havered, and the petal of a rose, of a certain kind of rose, is achas. Even one petal of the rose is enough, because it's also fragrant. Fine. Mini matekas kalshehain, any metal. L'may chazi, what could you do with any piece of metal? Tanya Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, sheken roi lasas mimena darvan katon. You can make out of it a small part of the ox goad. Small part of the whole harness, even one piece of metal, has a purpose over there. Tanu Rabbanan, you have a brayser that says, Ha'omer, if someone says, Hare alai barzel, I'm going to donate barzel to the Mishkan, to the Beit HaMikdash. What did they do with barzel? I'm going to donate barzel. So Acherim says, Lo yifchos me'ama al ama. You cannot donate less than an ama by ama. That's the minimum shear. If someone says, I'm donating iron, without specifying how much, You got to bring at least an amara by an amma. L'may chazia, what did they do with iron in the Beis HaMikdash? But they didn't use it to cut the kalim because none of that could be made out of, done with iron. Right? They couldn't use weapons. So what did they do with iron? Amar of Yosef, l'kalya orev. They used to make it to chase away the crows. What does that mean? On the top of the Beis HaMikdash, on the roof, they would make one amma by amma spikes on the top of the Beis HaMikdash so that the crows shouldn't rest there. So they had it all around the roof, so there's nowhere for the crows to rest. Why didn't they want the crows to rest there? Two reasons. First of all, maybe they're going to carry some dead, some nevela, or carcasses, or shrutzim. And second reason, they don't want to foul in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos here, the Aruch says, it's not spikes, it's a scarecrow. So they would make an iron, he says, with a face, and hands, to scare away any of the birds. So that's what they use the iron for. So that's Machlokas, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Aruch. The Tosfos over here says that the Aruch says that you didn't need this in the first Beis HaMikdash because the Kedusha was so intense that the birds didn't come anyway. Second Beis HaMikdash was a little less intense. You had to have these Kalia Orev to keep the birds away. Tosfos says it can't be. The Gemara Morid Katan that says that they had Kalia Orev in the first Beis HaMikdash. So I saw someone tries to say that maybe they built them, they got them already, but then they saw they didn't need them. So they're both right. They were going to do it, and then they realized, hey, it's such Kedusha here, we don't need these. So either way. Vikid Yami, others say, Acher, Omer, Acherim say, Lo Yivchos Mikalya Orev. Couldn't have less than a Kalya Orev. Vikam, and how much is that? Omer of Yosef, Amma al Amma. Nechoshes, what about copper? Lo Yivchos Mima'a Kesef. You shouldn't have less than a Ma'a of silver. That amount of copper is the amount that you have to carry out. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lo Yivchos Mitzinura Kitana Shal Nechoshes. You can't have less than a small fork made out of copper. So L'may Chazi, what could you do? What could you do with a small fork in the Beis HaMikdash? Am Rabaya, Shemachatatin Ba Es HaPsilos. The copper was for the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sorry. How much, if someone donates copper, it's copper for the Beis HaMikdash. So now back, what could you do with copper? What could you do with a fork? Shemachatatin Ba Es HaPsilos. They would use it to clean out, to straighten out the wicks, umakanchin haneiros, and to clean out all the gook, all the sediment from the oil that hardened and stuff. They would use forks to clean it out. Fine. Mekak svarim umakak maftechos mitafchos. The wormholes of svarim and the wormholes of the coverings. Amar of Yehuda mekak disifri. The worms of the svarim are called mekak. Techach. The worms that ruin silk are called tekach. The ila, the invoi. The worms that ruin grapes are called ila. The peh, the te'eni. The worms that ruin dates are, I'm sorry, not dates, figs, are called peh. Vaha, the rimoni. The worms that ruin pomegranates are called ha. Kulu zakanta. They're all dangerous, Rashi says, if you eat them. Ahu Talmudah, there was once a Talmud, Havi Yosef Kaved Rabbi Yochanan, he was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Ka'achal Te'eni, he was eating a fig. Amaleh, he said, Rebbe, Katsin Yesh Pate'edim, there are thorns in this fig. Because Rashi says, as it was going down his throat, the worms were ripping at his throat. So he thought it was like thorns. So Amaleh, Shiloh, what this Amaleh is? Amaleh, so Rabbi Yochanan said to who? To the Talmud? Katle Peh, Ladin. The peh is going to kill you because you're going to die. So some say this Aleph Lamed here is not Amar Leh, it's Amar Lahem. He said to others that were there. He said to others, he's not going to say to the guy, by the way, you're going to die right now. He didn't say that. He said to other people, he's going to die. Others say, Amar Leh, he said to himself. That he wouldn't have said it to someone who's about to die. I tried to look at what this Gemara is about, but no one really spoke about it. Okay. Next Mishnah. Hamotzi kupas harochlin. If somebody takes out a box, and in the box they're full of spices. Afal pi, even though, sheyesh ba minin harbe, even though there's a lot of different minim in there, ena chayev ela chatas achas. You only chayev one chatas. Right? Why only chayev one chatas? It's one malacha. Why is it one malacha? Because it's one box, it's one hella. Right? So Tosfos asks, don't we know that already? We had that many times. Right? Carry out one, even if you carry out half and half, it's going to combine. Only chayiv one time. So here's one helam, you only chayiv one time for one helam. What's the chiddush? So Tosfos says, you carried out the bat. You didn't remember. You carried out a bat full of spices. Then Sunday morning you woke up, oh my goodness, I carried out a bat. I didn't realize it was Shabbos. You bring a chatas. But at the time you brought the chatas, you forgot that there were spices in there. Then on Tuesday you remind, oh, you know what, there were spices in there. So the chatas that you brought pot is those spices. Why? Because the only thing that changed was when you remembered that you had them in there also. So then certainly you only have to bring one. That is no chiddush. That is no chiddush. That's certainly one helam. The helam, at the time you did it, we also said that you had to have a idea rishona. You knew that there were spices in there at the time you carried it. But then when you remembered about the box, you forgot about the spices. So then you remind yourself later about the spices, and we say the chadas patas you. What? Well, we had a machlokas what that was. Right, what if you... Right, what, we didn't have machlokas about that? So maybe Tosfos is only going according to one shita. Yeah, Tosfos says, there's machlokas of Yochanan Mishlokas. We had this in the beginning of the seventh parak. When you remind yourself at separate times, you're going to be chayef twice. So maybe this mission is only going according to one of them. So you reminded yourself at separate times, and the one chadz that you brought patters you. Zarone gina, if someone carries out garden seeds, pachos miki grogris. The shear is less than a grogris. We said before, all food is a grogris, but here, garden seeds are not food. It's the plant. It's going to become food. But right now, it's not food. It's not edible. No one eats seeds. So the shear is pachos miki grogris. What kind of shear is that? So the Rambam said, that's the shear. Slightly less than a grogris.
You see, unfinished products, unfinished products, you have a bigger shear. We had something similar to this before. But
since there's so much chashivas in a seed, we're going to have it in a few minutes about one seed. Right. Normally we say unfinished products have a bigger shear because we're going to get to that in a minute. Rabbi Huda ben Maseira says chamisha, five seeds. Zerak Yishuin, but if it's pumpkins, then shnayim, it's two. Why? Because it's so chashuv. Right, normally we say it's less chashuv. Sometimes it can be even more chashuv. Zera diluin, if it's melons, shnayim, two. Zera polamitri, zera of bean from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, shnayim, it's two. Chagav chai tahor, if someone carries out a live grasshopper that is tahor, kol shehu, any size. Why? Rashi says, because this is used for a toy. It's a pet. The kids played with it. So it has chashivas, no matter how small it is, the grasshopper. And therefore, we don't say, even though you're allowed to eat it, we don't say it's the shear of a grogris. We say it even could be a smaller shear, because right now it's a toy. We're going to get to all that in the Gemara. Maize, but if it's dead, the grasshopper, then it's not a toy. And the only thing you can do with it is eat it. Then it's a grogris, the shear of a grogris. Like any other food. Siporas krumim, machlokas what this is, either it's a grasshopper or some kind of small bird. Bein chaya bein nesa, whether no matter what, if it's alive or dead, kol shehu, it's any amount. Shematznin oso lirafua, because they use it for refua. They would take something out of this and make some kind of medicine out of it. So it must be a kosher animal, the whole discussion about that. Rabbi Huda Omer, af hamotzi chagav chai tomei kol shehu. Even if you carry out, even if the grasshopper is tomei, the shear is a kol shehu. Why? Shematznin oso lakatan lasachikbo. Because even the kids play with even treif grasshoppers. So why doesn't the Tanakhama include treif grasshoppers? Because he says we're scared that the child's going to eat it. So we don't let them play with it. We're going to get to that in the Gemara. So for Minhu, but I'll ask you a question, because we have a different brice that we had this already on Daf Peg, that says, Zevel, fertilizer, v'chol hadak, v'soft sand, k'dei lazalbo klach shel kruv. It's the amount of fertilizer that will nourish one stalk of kruv, of cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, the Chacham say k'dei lazalbel kresha, the amount that will fertilize one stalk of leek. So you see them over here, this brisa that we're bringing down from Daf Pei, that even one seed has chashivas, because the amount of fertilizer is to fertilize one seed, and our Mishnah gives different, five or less than a grogris. So what's going on? Summer of Papa, no. Ha, Dizriya. Once it's planted already, then it's considered so chashav, even one seed is chashav enough to be of hatzah. But ha, Dizriya. But our Mishnah, they're not planted yet, they're in your hand. So if they're in your hand, the shear is less than a grogris. Why isn't it a grogris? Because it has chashivas, even less. Nobody's carrying out one seed. That nobody does. Once it's planted, we'll take care of it very much. Well, nourish it. But once it's, but before it's planted, nobody carries out just one. So the shear for carrying out unplanted seeds is more than one. It's either five or less than a groveris. But the shear, once it's planted already, then we treat it very, very, we're very, very interested in it. And then the shear is even going to be for one. Zerak Yishuin, Tana Rabbanan. This is the seeds of melons. Hamotzi Garin. And if someone carries out pits, how many pits you have to carry out? Im Lenatia, if you're going to plant them, Shtayim. The Mishnah said two. Im Lachil, if you're going to eat them, Kamal Pi Chazir, the amount that fills up a mouth of a Chazir. The Kaman, how much is that? Kamal Pi Chazir, Achaz is one. And Tosas reminds us, you're not allowed to have Chazir, you're not even allowed to grow them. So what are you doing with them? That you know they're sheer? You're selling them. Either you're selling them, I thought you could have yarshened it from your grandmother who was not Jewish. The whole story, how that could happen. Or you're in the business. So in the business, they're not yours for personal pleasure. You're selling it to a guy. So you have them around. So it's the amount of one. It's one which fills up the mouth of a chazir. Im lahasik, if you're going to use it for firewood, kedei levashel beitza kala, then it's the amount that it takes to cook the easiest cooked egg. Im lecheshbon, if you're using these pits to make cheshbonos, you can't keep the number so high. So this pit represents 1,000. This one represents. So if you're doing it for that purpose, shtayim, it's two. Acherim omer, acherim say chamesh, it's five. Rashi says because less than that, you can keep the cheshbon in your head. Once you start with five sets, then already it starts to get too confusing. Then you need something else to help you keep track. So if it's less than that, you have five. And that's the amount of carrying out pits. Tana Rabbanan, hamotzi shnei nimin mizanav hasus, mizanav hapara. If someone carries out two hairs, one from the tail of a horse, one from the tail of a cow, chayev yichayev. Why? Shamatznin osan linishvin, because they would use it to trap. It would make fish traps out of it. They would do the horizontal vertical to make a trap, so two hairs is enough to make a for orig. Mekash shel chazir achas. The hair from a pig, which is very sharp, very hard, that's why it's called makasha, from Lashon kasha, hard, it's one, even achas, even one. Two redekel shtayim, the palms of a dekel is two. Two redekel, the vine that surrounds the palm, that's achas, that's only one. Tzipuris krumim ben chaya ben mesa kol shehu. My tzipuris krum, what is that? Amarav, Rav says, palya bi'ari. That's what it's called. Rashi says, kach shema. That's what it is. Amarabaya, umashtakach bedikla, and it's found in the palms. Dechad navara, that has one vine on it. V'avdile lechuchma, and it makes you smart. Achale lepalga diamina, if you eat the right half of it. Eat the right half of this, it's going to make you smart. Upaga the small, what do you do with the left half? Ramiled begufsa dinachasha. You put it in a tube made out of copper. Vichasimla beshitin gushbanki. And you seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says it's a lot of dafka. 60 is just a lot of seals. All different kinds. Wax, metal, this, lead, all different seals. We had this once before with the ant. Remember? With the ant? The toile beivra de smola, and then you hang it on your left arm, the simanach, and the simon is, lev chacham liamino, right? Someone has lev chacham is on the right, for lev kisil is smola, and the fool's on the left. So you're putting it on your left to show that I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be like that. I want to be smart. The chacham kama deboi, it'll make you as smart as possible. The gomar kama deboi, you can learn as much as you want. The achale leidach, but then you have to eat the other half. The ilah, because if not, mi'akar talmudo, it's going to make you forget all your learning. Okay, that's beyond explanation. Rav Yehuda Amar Afamoti, even if you carry out the grasshoppers. So what's going on with the grasshoppers? So the Tanakhama holds that you can only give a child a kosher grasshopper. Why? Savar he holds might savar the Tanakhama savar lo, but not a treif one. My time, why not? Dilma achile. Maybe he'll eat it. And the cotton's going to eat the treif grasshopper. Therefore, don't let him play with it. You can't give it to him as a toy, because maybe he'll eat it. Right? Today, we don't eat grasshoppers. We don't have a mesora. Right? Grasshoppers do not need shechita. So if it dies, you can eat it. Right? Doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if it's true that the mosquito is going to eat it, so tahar nami. So even if it's tahar, what's the fear? The fear is that it's Baal Teshatzu. It's something that's very disgusting to eat a live grasshopper. As Rashi says, there's no problem of Eirim Minachai by a grasshopper. So you can just take a bite out of it. But that's disgusting. So we're afraid that that's what your child's going to do. You can play with it, no problem. And if it dies, no problem. Even if it's alive, there's no problem. The only problem is about the shaksu. How do you know? The Rav Kahana have koim kamei derav. Rav Kahana was once by Rav. And he passed a live grasshopper in front of his mouth. Amale, so Rav told him, shakle, take that away. The lo limre mechal ka'ochale, nobody should think you're eating it. The ka'avar mishum bal tishak, so it's nafsho seichem. And people are going to think that you are doing something foul. It's a disgusting thing to do. So it can't, the reason cannot be because we're scared you're going to eat it alive. I'm sorry. The reason cannot be that we're scared you're going to eat it, because if that were true, then even if it was a kosher, we have the same fear. Ella, what's the problem? Dilma mayis va'achale. Maybe it'll die. And if it dies, so there's no problem about the shaksu. It's just dead. So if it's kosher, you're allowed to eat it. And if it's treif, you're not allowed to eat it. So they'll wait for it to die. And if it waits for it to die, then if it's not kosher, it's a big problem. It's not kosher. Right? For Rav Yehuda says, so that's the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama is only if it's alive. So the Tanakhama must hold that it's not common for kids to eat it when it's still alive. Otherwise he would have asked it totally. Right? That's a very uncommon thing. Most kids will not do that. So he allows kids to play with a kosher grasshopper, because if it dies, he'll eat it. But a treif grasshopper doesn't allow him to play with, because if it dies, maybe he'll eat it, and if he's not eating it, he's going to eat treif. So if Yehuda, why is Yehuda allowed to play with a treif grasshopper? Because he holds, imayis, if it dies, katan mishbad sapidle. The katan's going to eulogize it. Katan's not going to eat it. That's what kids do. Kids don't eat their pets. They bury them, then they can spay them. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that says, when the men would be gone for a long time, they'd go to war, they'd go to a caravan, and the woman, she's an aguna. We don't know what happened to the husband. So they would try to find any way to get her to remarried. So let's say they would overhear a conversation between two goyim. Oh, I was in the battlefield with Yankel and he got killed. Right? They're not kosher edim, so maybe they would allow such a thing. It's misyech lefi tumo. They're just talking casual conversation. So the Gemara says, what about if kids say it? So the Gemara says, no, because they could be talking about their pets. Mr. Klein, Mr. Smith, right? No, they're talking about their pet. Their pet's called Mr. Smith. And they're talking about the burying their pet. They're not talking about anybody real. That's a kid, that's how kids behave. Kids do that. So they'll never eat it, so it's not a problem. Okay, it's too far away. So this is a whole discussion about giving your children things that are usher. This whole discussion stems from this Gemara. Can you give your children something that's usher? So pretty much everyone holds, first of all, there's a whole discussion whether about the shaksu is usher midoraisa or just midorabanan, and it's just an asmachta here. Whether somebody really does something that's disgusting. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that in order for it to be about the shaksu, you have to know that it's disgusting. If somehow you don't know, then it wouldn't be about the shaksu. The shaila comes up story by malicha, something by some dam, and you don't know what's in there, then maybe he has a whole tshuva, a very long tshuva. He even brings down this gemara. That maybe the kid doesn't realize there's something wrong with eating it. He's such a little kid, he doesn't know it's disgusting. Say, well, most of the truth about that. But most assume that it's the Rabbanon, about the shaksu. Most assume that it's only innocent the Rabbanon by eating. And there's a whole discussion here about chinuch. Whether or not, we assume that there was a story in the Gemara where somebody lost his keys, so he on Shabbos. Somehow he lost the keys before Shabbos. So someone told him, listen, go bring the kids, let the kids play over there where you lost them, it'll turn up, because the kids are playing, and it'll turn up. And then they'll bring it home, they'll bring the keys home. So some say, well, you can only do that if it's not your child. If it's someone else's, then it's only a derech agav, the old distinction is if you're giving him an iser, or if you see him with an iser. So if you see him with an iser, the rules are much more lenient than you're actually giving it to him. So here, there's a further machlokas, whether giving him the toy, the grasshopper to play with, is like as if you're giving him food, because it's probably going to die soon. They don't last for too long. There might be a chashash, he might come to eat it. So all the discussion about chinuch and also there's another discussion about what age all this applies to. At what age do they become under the category of chinuch? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's for a lo saseh, it applies as soon as the child understands that this is wrong. Whatever age that is, for every child, as soon as they know that it's wrong, that's the age when chinuch applies. For aseis, it's the same thing. As soon as they know, what is tzitzis all about? Like, why am I wearing this? Why am I taking the lulav? Why am I taking an esrog? As soon as they're old enough to realize, that's when chinuch kicks in. So before that age, again, there's a whole machlokus about it, whether or not everyone pretty much holds, you can't give them anything usher. You can't give them anything usher, unless there's a reason. But just stop to give them something usher, pretty much everyone says you shouldn't do that. But if you see a child eating a McDonald's somehow, he got hold of it from the babysitter, if he's below chinuch age, there's a machlokus about it, but some hold you might not have to stop it, certainly if it's not your own child. Okay, Hajjan Allah Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hajjan Allah Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hajjan Allah Amar Rabbi Akiva. Tomorrow we start the Parakah HaMatznia, and believe it or not, it's more about the topic of Hotzah, and today's shiur was learned L'Ila Nishmas of Moshe Eliezer Ben Binyamin HaKohen. Amen.